but he was born here, and he certainly is from the Chachmei Svarad.
Rambam, born in Cordova.
Unlike the other Rishonim, unlike the Bava Yam Taisvis, and the Maharam Rutenberg, and the Rashbo, and the Ramban, and all the others who had yeshivas, and who worked on the Gemara with the Talmidim, and they had give and take, they had discussion, and then they came to their conclusions, and they wrote their Svarim. After a long discussion with Talmidim, working out all the details, the Rambam is all alone. He did not have a yeshiva. So it's very surprising how what a great genius he was. All the things that he figured out on his own in halacha, and all of the conclusions that he came to without any masa matan with Talmidim. Quite a few years ago, Art Scroll published a translation of the one section of the Rav Baruch Epstein's autobiography. Rav Baruch Epstein is the author of the Torah Tmima, and he writes that his name Epstein was originally Ben Veneshti. It's a corruption of the name Ben Veneshti. He writes he's a descendant from these Chachmei Svarad, from Rav Aaron Alevi and Rabbi Mizrahi Alevi. So, 30 years ago, Art Scroll published an English translation of one section of the autobiography that was known as My Uncle the Netziv. The Netziv. The Netziv was a brother-in-law of the Aruch HaShulchan. Mrs. Aruch HaShulchan was a sister of the Netziv. And the Netziv was the Rosh Hashiva in Valozhin the last 39 years. Shiva in Valozhin lasted for 90 years, from 1801 to 1891, and the Netziv was the Rosh Yeshiva the last 39 years, and under his presidency, the Yeshiva was closed. So originally, the Netziv was the brother-in-law of the Aruch HaShulchan, and then when his first wife died, he married his niece. His Zivik Sheni was the daughter of the Aruch HaShulchan. So that's why the Torah Tmima, whenever he quotes his uncle, the Netziv, he'll write, he heard from Dodi Gisi, from my uncle, my brother-in-law. First he was his uncle, and then he became his brother-in-law. The Netziv was something like 30 years older than his second wife, because he married his niece. So the Netziv is quoted by his brother-in-law, his nephew, Rav Baruch Epstein, as having said that the reason why there's so many difficult Rambams, a lot of times the Rambam has an interpretation in the Gemara, he comes to a conclusion very different from everybody else. So the Netziv is quoted as having said that the reason for this is because the Rambam had no yeshiva, and he didn't work out the inyanim with Talmidim, so that's why he came to such strange conclusions. If he would have had a yeshiva, he would have had to argue out the pshat with the Talmidim, he would have come to more reasonable conclusions. He would have been more acceptable. He would have learned the Gemara like everybody else. So the public felt that this was highly questionable, whether the Netziv ever said such a thing. So they had an Art Scroll had to call the book off of the shelves, and they stopped selling it. The book, My Uncle the Netziv, which was the English translation of one chapter, one or two chapters in the autobiography of Rav Baruch Epstein. The Rambam is known to us, he had no Talmidim, but he's known to us through his writings. So he wrote in three different languages. He wrote in Mishnei Hebrew, he wrote the Mishnah Torah. Then in Arabic, he wrote the introduction to the Mishnah Torah really is the Sefer HaMitzvahs. That's what he writes. The Sefer HaMitzvahs was written in Arabic, and we use the Hebrew translation. And in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he lists off what in his opinion are the 613 mitzvahs, and then he proceeds to write the whole Mishnah Torah to explain all the details of 613 mitzvahs. And the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to learn all of the mitzvahs, to know all the mitzvahs, and to know all the details of the mitzvahs. Years ago, the Rambam would always be printed, the Sefer of the Mishnah Torah would always be printed together with the Sefer HaMitzvahs, because the Sefer HaMitzvahs is really the introduction to the Mishnah Torah. The whole Mishnah Torah was just an elaboration on the Sefer. Sefer HaMitzvahs. The Chasam Sefer complains about the fact that during his lifetime, the printers wanted to make more money, so they printed the Sefer HaMitzvahs separately, because they printed more commentaries on the Sefer HaMitzvahs, so they printed that separately, and then they printed the Mishnah Torah separately. So the Chasam Sefer says, what a terrible thing happened, that now the Talmid HaChachamim stopped learning the Sefer HaMitzvahs. And there are many ideas in the Sefer HaMitzvahs that don't appear anywhere else in the Rambam. And without the Sefer HaMitzvahs, you don't fully appreciate, you don't fully understand what the Rambam's position is in the Mishnah Torah. Then the Rambam also wrote the Mar Nebuchim in Arabic, which we use in Hebrew translation. There are different translations. Also, many Talmid HaChachamim never bother to study the Mar Nebuchim because it's Aristotelian philosophy, it's not what we're used to. We have more or less accepted the Hashkafa of the Ramban as opposed to that of the Rambam. But it's also not right. The Rogatchover, in his Svarim on the Rambam, as well as the Arsameach, Rameh Simcha, they were both Rabbonim in the same city, Dvinsk. So they both use the Mar Nebuchim a lot to explain passages in the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah. There are certain passages in the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah which we don't really understand at all without first reading the Mar Nebuchim. So we have these famous writings. The Mishnah Torah was written in Mishnei Hebrew. The Pirush HaMishnayos LaRambam was written in Arabic. We use the translation. The Mar Nebuchim was written in Arabic. The Sefer HaMitzvahs was written in Arabic. And then about 70 years ago, maybe 90 years ago, Haksav Yad of the Rambam was discovered on Masechah Shabbos, which was neither written in Hebrew nor written in Arabic, but rather in Aramaic. Aramaic. Like the Yad Ramah wrote his commentaries in Aramaic. So the Rambam has a running commentary on Masechah Shabbos, which was written in Aramaic and was published by Professor Simcha Asaf many, many years ago. It's interesting, in Europe, in the early 1900s, when they first developed the Shabbos clocks, so there was a big dispute among the Talmid HaChachamim whether you're permitted to use a Shabbos clock or not. The issue being that at the end of the first Perek of Masechet Shabbos, the Mishnah records a dispute between Bishamai and Bishilo. So Bishamai are of the opinion that you're not permitted to set up a system whereby Malacha begins before Shabbos and continues into Shabbos. Say, for example, someone has wool that he wants to throw into a vat with dye, and he throws it. You're not allowed to dye wool on Shabbos. So the Shammai say you're not permitted to put the wool into the vat on Erev Shabbos if it's going to continue to get absorb the colors on Shabbos. Or it's not permissible to set up a sprinkler system on Erev Shabbos that will continue to water the lawn or water the grass into Shabbos, and so on, with very few exceptions to the rule. You can put up food to cook, a few exceptions to the rule the Gemara makes, but basically Bishamai holds it's not permissible. And Mesillah say that it is permissible. You're allowed to spread up, you're allowed to set up a sprinkler system on Erev Shabbos that continues into Shabbos, and you're permitted to put the wool into the vat of dye. So the Shiloh came up when they started Shabbos clocks, is it permissible to set up a system on Erev Shabbos where the Malacha is going to begin in the middle of Shabbos? Maybe even Basila will only permit you to set up a system when the Malacha begins on Erev Shabbos and continues into Shabbos. But if the whole Malacha is set up in such a way, the lights are going to go on Shabbos, or the air condition is going to go on Shabbos, would that be permissible or not? So this was a big machlekes in Europe, and the overwhelming majority of the Rabbanim said Lahakel. So that's the way it remained, it was Mutter. But then Professor Asaf printed this manuscript of the Rambam, which doesn't go too far, doesn't go too much past the end of the first Perek. It conks out, I think, the beginning of the second Perek. He didn't find the manuscript on more than that. So the Rambam emphasizes, he has a long essay on this topic, and he passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi, you repeat three times that even according to Beis Hillel, it's not permissible. To set up a system where the melacha is going to begin in the middle of Shabbos. So the Rabbanim had a shaila, what should they do now? 20 years earlier, they voted Acharav Mahatas, they voted Lahokel. Now they found that the Rambam in this manuscript on Amasech HaShabbos says Lahachmer. So they decided at that time that since this manuscript was missing for so many years, and Shanoiz Gepaskin Lahokel, so we should leave it like that. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, in his Sefer, writes that he thinks that if the Tanoim would be alive in our generation, they probably would prohibit the use of all of these Shabbos clocks for all things. But the Tanoim are not alive. We don't have to make new Chumris and new Gzeris. So since it was Mekubal, since it's accepted Lahokel, to set up a Shabbos clock for the purpose of having lights go on in the middle of Shabbos, so we leave it like that. But Moshe says it's only Mekubal Lahokel, it's only accepted Lahokel, with respect to turning on lights, which enhances Kavod Shabbos. But with respect to other malachas, let's say someone's going to use a VCR in order to record a football game that's going to take place on Shabbos, or to record some movie that's on TV on Shabbos. And Shabbos not going to lift a finger. He set everything up from before Shabbos. So Moshe thinks that since the use of the VCR does not enhance quote Shabbos, so this is not the Kupal Lehatera. So he thinks, without quoting the Tshuvas HaRambam, Moshe says on his own, He doesn't write that he was aware that there was a Tshuvas HaRambam. If he would have been aware, he certainly would have quoted it. He wasn't aware of that. He writes on his own. He thinks that we should not use a Shabbos clock to any purpose other than electric lights on Shabbos, which enhance Kavod Shabbos. How does it enhance Kavod Shabbos? One should just leave the lights on for the whole Shabbos. So I think he's referring to the situation that used to be years ago, that religious Jews couldn't afford to leave the lights on all Shabbos. The alternative would be that they would sit. I remember when I was living with my grandparents in New York City, so my grandparents were poor people, so they couldn't afford to leave on the electric lights the whole Shabbos. My grandmother Betschlich, and when the candles went out, the house was dark. My grandparents just left on a little light in the bathroom that was on all night, that's all. And in the daytime, we would see things in the house because of the sunshine that came in. And if it'd be raining outside or it'd be dark outside, so it would have to be dark in the house. They simply couldn't afford to leave on lights. And only because they used the Shabbos clock, I don't know if it's actually saving money, because the Shabbos clock itself costs money to run. But they didn't have to pay for the electrical bulb burning the whole Shabbos. So they thought, psychologically I guess, they thought that they're not spending so much money over here, so that they could use on Shabbos. So that's what Rabbi Moshe means, that you're enhancing both Shabbos. So the alternative would be that the house will be dark. Or let's say people had small apartments, so someone had to sleep in that room. Leave on the lights where you're going to eat, and someone has to sleep in that room later in the evening. So you have to have the lights go out, and the lights go on back again on Shabbos. So if it enhances Kavod Shabbos, then Rav Moshe says, then we rely on this kula. But let's say most people have larger apartments now. People can afford to leave on the lights all Shabbos. People have larger apartments. People are usually not going to sleep in the dining room. So according to Rav Moshe's position, it's not really proper to use a Shabbos clock. You should leave the lights on the whole Shabbos in the dining room. Anyway, that's one of the chidushim that appears in this Saviyat of the Rambam in his commentary on Masech HaShabbos. The Rambam was very mesudadik. The Rambam took all of the dinim in the Gemara that are out of order. You have halachas in Gittin that only appear in Masech HaYuma. The halachas of Hilchas Shabbos that only appear in Masech HaGittin. The Rambam took all the dinim from all the Talmud Bavli, Yerushalmi, Sifro, Sifrei, Tosefta. He collected all of the rabbinic literature with the Tshuvas HaGaonim, and he put everything into such a fantastic system. We don't really understand why the son of the Rosh, Rabbi Yankev Balaturim, took all the dinim and put them back out of order again. The Rambam took everything from the Gemara, which is so not in order, and he put everything in such a fantastic system. You can be an Am HaAretz, and you know know where to find it in the Rambam. You'll find it where it belongs, where it logically belongs. The Rambam is fantastic in his Seder and his thoroughness. But the story is, the Rambam never tells you what his Makoris are. And there's a famous letter of the Rambam. Someone asked him regarding a certain din in Hilchos Rotzeach, Shmiras Nefesh. The Rambam writes a halacha that if someone kills B'shogeg, he has to run to the Yorei Miklot. What if accidentally I kill someone else and the other fella doesn't die immediately? It takes him a couple of hours till he's twisting and turning till he finally dies. So the Rambam says, the one who killed B'shogeg doesn't go to Yorei Miklot. So someone asked the Rambam, what is the source of that din? So the Rambam writes, I myself forgot. So I thought right away it must be in Gemara Gittin. He thought right away it must be in Gemara Makkos, where it has all the dinim of Golas. Then he looked through Makkos, Elayin HaGol, and he saw it's not there. Then he thought second that must be in Sanhedrin, where the Masechah Sanhedrin has dinim of Ratzeach. He checked where the Gemara there wasn't there. And finally he realized that it's in Masechah's Gittin, because the dinim of the Gemara are not so well organized. So the Rambam writes in that letter, it's a famous letter, that he has charata, he feels bad why he didn't write his sources. Because he himself forgot some of the sources. He was busy, he was making a panasa, he was a doctor, he had to do other things for a living. So he himself forgot the sources for many of the dinim, which he wrote in addition to Torah. The Rambam is very mesuridic with respect to another thing also. He's famous for several of the hakdamas, introductions, that he wrote to different Svarim. For example, the Rambam has a hakdama to the Pirush HaMishnayos. His introduction to his commentary on the Mishnayos is really an introduction to all of Torah Shebal Peh, and he divides Torah Shebal Peh into four different categories and subcategories. Very mesuridic and very important hakdama. Just about 5 years ago, the people in the Baltimore Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael published a sefer comments of the former Rosh Yeshiva Rabbi Weinberg on the Hakdamas HaRambam, the Pirush HaMishnayos, and he didn't cover everything either. They published the whole sefer. There's a lot of rich material in the Rambam's Hakdama to the Pirush HaMishnayos. The Rambam also has a Hakdama to Pirkei Avos, which is very famous. It doesn't have any title to it, so it's only known as the Shmoyna Prakim Baharambam, because it has 8 chapters, but it's very famous. His introduction to Pirkei Avos is very famous. He has an introduction to Perek Chelek in the end of Masechah Sanhedrin. The Mishnah says, Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelek Ve'elam Abba, with a few exceptions to the rule. So some of the exceptions to the rule are the Apikursim. The Rambam has to define who's an Apikoris, and he formulates the principles of the Yud Gimel Ikari HaEmunah there. He has a paragraph for each one of them. So that's a famous introduction to Perek Chelek, where the Rambam gives you his manifesto, where he, in addition to the Torah, you don't have that. You just have that in the Hakdamah to the Masechus, in the Pirush HaMishnayos, the Hakdamah to Perek Chelek. The Rambam has a famous introduction to Seder Taharos. In fact, there's a whole sefer that was written by one of the Geonim in Europe that's called Sefer Meinav Toyach, running commentary on the text. The text of the sefer is the Rambam Sakdoma to Seder Taharos, and this sefer Meinav Toyach, he gives you all the sources for the Rambam, and he has a lot of discussion. The Rambam also has Akdoma to Seder Kochim. One of the Maskilim in Europe said 100 years ago, if the only thing we would, only manuscript, only sefer we would have from the Rambam would have been the Rambam's introduction to Seder Kochim, we would have known that the Rambam was the greatest Goyin in his generation, that he was the Gadol HaDor. We have so much more from the Rambam. It's unbelievable. It's phenomenal. The Rambam called his sefer Mishneh Torah, and he explains why he used that name. Very ambitious explanation. He says that all you have to do is study the Tanakh and read my Sefer Mishneh Torah, which will contain within it a synopsis of all of the Torah Shebal Peh, and you will know Kol HaTorah Kulo. So in Yiddish folklore, they say that Klal Yisrael didn't like that. That was a little too much to swallow. All you have who studied Tanakh and my Sefer, you know all there is to know. So the Klal Yisrael nicknamed the Sefer Yad HaZaka, because there are 14 books, so we call it Yad. The Yud Dalet, the 14 volumes of the Rambam, the real title really is Mishneh Torah, and we never call it by its real title, because it's a little bit chutzpah there. Same thing, the Al-Sheikh also is called Al-Sheikh HaKadosh, because the real title is Torah Smosha. And the same thing, the Chasam Sefer. We don't call it the Torah Smosha. We call it Chasam Sefer. As if only this Sefer, Torah Smosha, everybody's learning Torah Smosha. Torah Smosha is the Hamishah Chumshah Torah, is called Torah Smosha. So these, I think, in Yiddish folklore, they say these are the three Svarim that we don't call by their original name. The Rambam's Mishneh Torah, and the Al-Sheikh's Torah Smosha, and the Chasam Sefer, also the Torah Smosha. The Rambam writes in his introduction to his Mishneh Torah that he's not going to quote Machlokes. In the Gemara, you always have a Machlokes Hatanaim, and you have a Machlokes Amoraim, and then you have a Machlokes in the days of the Gaonim. So the Rambam says he's not going to quote Machlokes. He's just going to give the Psak HaMekubal, the one Shita. And even though the Halacha requires that you have to say Oyma Dovah B'Shem Amroi, supposed to quote everything, this is what Abaye said, this is what Rabbi Akiva said, this is what Rav Tarfon said. So the Rambam says, I won't be in violation of that din, even though I'm not quoting any names, because I'm going to give you the Seder HaMasorah. So he starts by writing Moshe Kibbol Torah Misinai, Misorah LeYoshua, and then he goes ahead to detail 40 generations, Moshe is generation number one, Yeshua is generation number two, till he gets to Ravina of Rav Ashi, that's generation number 40. And he doesn't continue any further. And he says, since I've given you the whole Seder HaMasorah, there's no longer any need to be Oymadova B'Shem Amrei. So we don't exactly understand, well, how did he solve that problem? He didn't identify any din B'Shem Amrei. So isn't he in violation of the din? So apparently the Rambam understood that the nature of the din of Oymadova B'Shem Amrei is that we should realize that the Piske Halacha that we're saying over are from Chachmei HaMasorah. He's going to say something that Rabbi Akiva said this, and Rabbi Yitzhak Lili said this, and Abaye developed this din, and Ravina developed this din. So the Rambam writes in his introduction the 40 generations, and he says everything that I'm writing in this Sefer Mishneh Torah is all from these Chachmei HaMasorah. Everything was based on Torah Smosha as transmitted from generation to generation, and based on whatever was added on, things were added on midirabbanan in various generations, and things were added on minatera in the various generations. That's one of the major points that the Rambam is known for in his Hakdama to the Pirush HaMishnayos. The Rambam quotes from the Gaonim, commenting on the passage that appears in several midrashim, that every halacha that was developed in the later generations, Kol Masha Talmid Vasik, Vasik L'Chadesh, was Zemelo L'Moshe Misinai. So the Gaonim understood that literally, that every single din in Shulchan Aruch was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Rambam says that that's ridiculous. Over the generations, not only were there additional dinim in the Rabbanu that were added on, that's clearly, those dinim were certainly not told to Moshe Rabbeinu, but not all of the dinim deraisa were told to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was told the text of the Chumash. He was dictated the text word for word and letter for letter. And then he was given the Midas Shatar and Reshes Behem. And in every generation, the Rabbanim darshan the Psukim the way they saw fit. That's why we refer, the Rambam coined this term. The Rambam didn't coin the term. He has an expression that appears in the Talmud, but he uses it very often, much more often than all of the other Rishonim put together. The term he uses is Divrei Sofrim. Divrei Sofrim means halacha that was developed by the Rabbanim over the generations. So that includes both Dinim Derabbanan as well as Dinim Deraisa, which were not told to Moshe Rabbeinu. Halachas L'Moshe Misina were told to Moshe Rabbeinu. But all the other Dinim were developed over the generations, and generation after generation, they would develop more halachas. And that's why the Rambam writes in the first half of his Sefer HaMitzvahs, there have to be 613 mitzvahs based on Pshuto Shel Mikra. We're not going to include the mitzvahs min HaTorah that were developed based on Midas HaTorah Nidreshes, because in every every generation, the Rabbanim can add on more and more drushes based on Midrash HaTorah and Nidre. They can add on more dinim, and they can take off dinim. They can. Every generation has the right to disagree with the earlier generation. Ein lochal l'shefin shebi amecha. The halacha says, Ein bezin yochal levatol dibi bezin chaveiroi. A later bezin cannot repeal a rabbinic enactment that was instituted by an earlier bezin, unless the later bezin is gadol v'chachma v'minyan. So the Rambam writes, and all the Rishonim agree to this. This is not the Rambam's original chiddush. This appears in the Talmud Yerushalmi that a later bezin cannot repeal a rabbinic enactment unless the greater v'chachma v'minyan. But they have a right to disagree regarding midas ha'tar and nedreshes bem. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein very often disagrees with the Nerdi Yehuda and often disagrees with the Chasam Sofer and earlier Poskim. So Rabbi Moshe was attacked as being a big Baal Gaiva. How does he have the chutzpah to disagree with the Nerdi Yehuda and the Chasam Sofer? So those of us who remember Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, remember he was not at all arrogant. He was extremely, unusually humble, and it wasn't an act. He was a really humble person. So he didn't feel at all he was greater than the Chasam Sofer and the Nerdi Yehuda. He just knew that this is the rule. Ein lochal l'shef, it should be amecha. He said, it may be that I'm not entitled to an opinion at all. That's possible. But people insist that they want to know my opinion. People are pressuring him. They want him to give a psak. So on the assumption that I am entitled to an opinion, I have to give my honest-to-goodness opinion, even if it's in disagreement with Gaonim who were greater than me from earlier generations. So the Rambam writes, you have to have a list of 613 mitzvahs that are based on Pshutu Shal Mikra. You cannot include in the Cheshbon Dinim Derabbanan. You cannot include in the Cheshbon Dinim Deraisa that were developed over the generations, because in every generation they can disagree with the earlier generation regarding the drushes based on the psukim. Ein lochal l'shefet shebi amecha. This is accepted in Shulchan Aruch what the Rambam said. It says in Choshen Mishpat, they quote this from the Rosh, that if in our generation a shaila comes up and we feel the din should be one direction, and we discover tshuvas ha'gainim who say not so. So the Shulchan Aruch recommends this in Choshen Mishpat Simach Hafei. So the Rambam quotes this from the Rosh. We better consult with our contemporaries to make sure that we're not making some major mistake. But if after consultation, the other Rabbanim of our generation also agree that the Goyim must have made a mistake, and they're convinced that the proof that we have to our position is conclusive, that our sheet is correct, and the Goyim made a mistake, so we don't follow the Goyim. That's Yodua. The Rambam says like that. The Rosh says like that. That's everybody knows like that. The rule, Ein Bezin Yochel Levatol Dibi Bezin Chaveira, that a later Bezin can only repeal the rabbinic enactment that was instituted by an earlier Bezin if the later Bezin is greater than Chachma Dominion. That's only regarding repealing a rabbinic din, a din the Rabbanim. To be Oiker, a din the Rabbanim. But in Darshaning Psukim, you don't have to be greater than Chachma Dominion. The Rambam wrote in his introduction to the Mishnah Torah, he's not going to quote any machlokes, he's just going to give you one psak throughout. Every so often the Rambam does quote the machlokes, so we're not sure exactly why. He'll quote, in rare instances, he'll quote the Gaonim say like this, and I disagree. Sometimes he'll quote three opinions. He'll quote two opinions and then he'll write his own opinion. So we don't understand, why did the Rambam make about 50 exceptions to the rule? If he himself writes in the introduction, it's only going to give you one mahalach, it's only going to give you one psak. Also, the Rambam, the Mishnah Torah of the Rambam, is all pure quotations. He's quoting Mishnah, Tosefta, Bavli, Yerushalmi, Sifrei Mechilta, Tshuvas HaGem. He's always quoting. Whenever he writes something original, so he always writes here royally. I think there are only less than 100 cases. They figured it out using a computer. There are less than 100 cases in the Rambam where he writes royally. And even when what he writes is pretty elementary, it's like 2 and 2 is 4. He quotes one din from the Gemara and the other din, and then he says, royally, in my opinion, the din in the third case will be like this, and we might we would have said the same also. Rambam is very careful, he'll write Yerai Lei, because it didn't say explicitly. The Rambam is very medactic, the way he wrote his Mishneh Torah. The Rambam in Egypt was fighting with Karaim. There were different brands of Karaim. There were Karaim from Europe, Karaim from Asia, Karaim from Africa. Each one had their own shtick. And each group rejected to one extent or another much of the Torah Shebaal Peh. So the Rambam every so often has a line in the Mishneh Torah that a yeshiva bacha a person in our generation wouldn't understand why in the world did the Rambam write it like this. But we know historically that he wrote a lot of things in the Mishneh Torah because he was waging war with the Karaim. So take for example Professor Simcha Asaf did a lot of work on Karaim, and Rambam, he points out that Rambam in Hilchas Milah writes that when the Moel performs the Bris Milah, he can use a scissors, he can use a knife, he can use a sharp piece of glass, a sharp piece of metal, a sharp blade of grass, the Gemara says. Anything that's sharp, anything that you can use to cut with, you can use for Bris Milah. There's no specific halacha what you have to use. And then the Rambam says, and the Jewish people have a minhag that we use a knife. What kind of a lashon? The Jewish people have a minhag. The whole Bris Milah is only by the Jews. Vanagu kol Yisrael, the Jewish people, what kind of expression is that? So Professor Asaf pointed out that when you read Karaitic literature, so they insisted on performing Bris Milah with the scissors, based on the pasuk in Sefer Yehoshua. When the Jewish people in the days of Yeshua ben Nun crossed over the Yarden, and they came to the city Gilgal, so then they had, for so many years in the Midbar, they didn't fulfill Bris Milah because it wasn't healthy. The weather was not conducive to performing Bris Milah. It was the only Shevet Levi observed Bris Milah, and the rest of the Shvatim were afraid because of the health conditions. So the weather conditions, it would be dangerous. So when they finally came to Eretz Yisrael in the city Gilgal, so they had a national Bris Milah and everybody. And it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Yeshua kach lecho charbos tzurim shuv moles b'nei Yisrael sheinis. So what kind of an expression is that? Charbos tzurim. So the Karoim interpreted the pasuk, you have to take two pieces of metal that cut one against the other. That's what we call the scissors. Charbos tzurim. So based on this pasuk, they came up with their own original chiddush. The Bris Milah can only be performed if you use a scissors. If you use a knife, it's not good. So the Rambam writes that the hoitzim milibam shava karoim, the practice is not so. We do not use the scissors, even though it maybe would be easier, I don't know. But the meaning is we davka use a knife to demonstrate that the karoim are wrong. The Rambam also, when you look in Hilchas Shabbos, all of Hilchas Shabbos and the Rambam are so out of order. The Rambam writes about, Rambam makes such a big tzimtzum about lighting neiros on Erev Shabbos. That should be at the end of the Hilchas Shabbos. Hilchas Shabbos should begin with the Malachas. Then in the second parak, the Rambam already writes that Din Pikuach Nefesh is Deicha Shabbos. That doesn't belong before the Malachas. He should have said all the Malachas. 39 Malachas HaShabbos, the Dinim Deraisa, the Dinim Derabbanan, and then say because Nefesh is the Hilchas Shabbos. The reason why he put these Dinim so early in the Hilchas Shabbos, totally out of order, very much out of order, because the Karaim in Egypt during the lifetime of the Rambam didn't believe in Pikuach Nefesh the Hilchas Shabbos. So the Rambam emphasizes the point. He writes it at the beginning of the second parak in Hilchas Shabbos. Before he even tells you what's Asar on Shabbos, he already tells you what's Mutter. It's Mutter to be Mechal Shabbos before he tells you what's a Malacha. And the Karaim, we know, didn't believe in Hadlokas HaNeiros on Erev Shabbos. They interpreted the Pasuk, Lo Yisabar Reish B'chol Mosh V'sech B'yayim HaShabbos, that you're not permitted to leave lights on in the home, even if you light the candles on Erev Shabbos. So that's why the Rambam makes a big fuss of the Hadlokas HaNeiros. In the end of Hilchas Shabbos, the Rambam puts it where it belongs. First, he spends many parakim writing the Lamed Tes Malachas, and he writes a lot about Hoitzor, Mishus HaYochid, Mishus HaRabim, Karmelis, about kibbutz v'yoinik, and he writes how Hadlokas Hanin, and kibbutz is hachanas that we do on Erev Shabbos, for Shabbos, and yoinik is the pleasure that we enjoy on Shabbos from all the hachanas that we did on Erev Shabbos. So the Rambam explains that Hadlokas Hanin is both kibbutz and oinik. We should prepare in advance. We should enjoy the fact that the house is lit up. So that's where it belongs. That's where the Hadlokas Hanin belongs, in the end of Hilchos Shabbos. But the Rambam wrote it all the way in the beginning, because he's waging war against the Karaim. Likewise, in Hilchos Shechita, there's a famous passage in the Rambam that people break their heads to try to understand what is the Rambam driving at. We have a din, you're not permitted to shech also the Ezbeno. You're not allowed to shech a behemah with its mother on the same day. So the Rambam writes, it's permissible to shech the behemah mu'uberes, mutal lishchis ha'mu'uberes. And he writes, the reason why is because Uba Yerachimoy. So everybody wonders, what does he have to say that for? Of course, Mutalishcha de Samu Beres. Why, that would have been a Havamina, that would have been a violation of Osu Yezbeno. So the reason why the Rambam wrote it, that's what Professor Asaf writes. The reason why he wrote it is because the Karoim understood that the Yisr of Osu Yezbeno goes only on such a case, that you're not permitted to shech the Mu Beres. So the Rambam says the pshat that they say is wrong. And I'm going to tell you what the din of Osu Yezbeno means. But it's not that there's a real havamina to think that it's awesome to shech the Hemu Mu'uberes. So a lot of times you have to keep in mind when you're studying Rambam, it could be that the Rambam is not quoting any rabbinic source over here. Sometimes it's just waging war against the Karoim. The Rambam has several igarot, several letters that became very famous. Igeres Teiman is one of the famous letters. There was a Jew who tried to convince the community in Teiman that he was the Melech HaMashiach, and he was encouraging everyone to give away all of the money to tzedakah and all other crazy things. So the Balabatim in the community in Teiman sent a letter to the Rambam that he should psychoanalyze this person long distance without meeting him and tell him whether they should they follow this individual or not. So the Rambam writes them in as a crackpot. He's off his rocker. He's crazy. And he says, what do you mean? The Melech HaMashiach is going to tell you to go against the Din? The Din says you're not allowed to give away all of your money to the Beis HaMikdash based on a Pasuk in Chumash. Mishnah and Erechin bases it on the Pasuk and Chumash. So certainly you're not allowed to give away all of your money to tzedakah. It's against the halacha. Melech HaMashiach is not going to tell us to violate the halacha. So he says, the man is a meshugana. Then the Rambam talks a lot about, in that famous Igeres Teiman, when he encourages the people not to listen to the meshugana, he's a false Mashiach. So he says, based on Pesukim and Tanakh, he describes what's going to be as Mashiach Zekuin. He says, Mashiach will be a descendant of David and Shlomo. David HaMelech had several children. He had quite a few wives. He had quite a few children. So he says, our tradition has it that the Melech HaMashiach will be not just be a descendant of David HaMelech. He'll be a descendant of David HaMelech, Mizera David, Mizera Shlomo. This was promised. Then he says, the Melech HaMashiach will be an unknown figure until he will appear in Eretz Yisrael. And he bases this on Pesukim and Navi. The Pasuk says the Melech HaMashiach will be called Tzemach. Doesn't necessarily mean that's his name, but we'll call him Tzemach as a nickname because Umitachtav Yitzmach. Evet Vaksen von unter der Erde. He'll be an unknown figure until he will be in his gala in Eretz Yisrael. So he says, this fellow is a Meshuganet. Telling you in Teiman that he's the Melech HaMashiach. He can't be the Melech HaMashiach. Melech HaMashiach can only be Nizgala in Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam writes a lot of other things there. Much of what the Rambam writes in the Igeres Teiman about the coming of Mashiach appears in the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah. The very end, the last few chapters in the Rambam's Sefer Mishnah Torah, he writes about the coming of Mashiach. There are certain things that he writes in the Igeres Teiman, like these two points. The Melech HaMashiach will be an unknown figure until he will be Nizgala in Eretz Yisrael. That's based on Pesukim and Navi. So this he didn't include in the Mishnah Torah, that he has things in the Mishnah Torah which he didn't bother to include in the Igeres Teiman. Mamet. This is one of the more famous letters of the Rambam. It's a longer letter. And there's a famous letter that the Rambam wrote to Avadya Hager. In the Mishnah Bikurim, there is a machlokes hatanoim. When a ger davens, does it make sense for him to say Elokeinu Elokei Aviseinu Elokei Avraham Elokei Yitzchak Elokei Yaakov? He is not a biological descendant of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So the Mishnah says, a ger who davens cannot say that nusach. He should daven Elokeinu Elokei Avos Yisrael, the God of the forefathers of the Jewish people, but he can't say Elokei Aviseinu. And likewise, when he benches Chanukah Licht, and when he reads the Bikra Megillah, he should not say Sha'as and Nisim Lavos Seinu Bayam and Bayim Bezmanazeh. He should say Sha'as and Nisim Lavos Yisrael. So the Rambam has, so, and then the Talmud Yerushalmi quotes that there's a Tanu who disagrees and says that a Ger can say the same as everybody else, even though the Ger is not a biological descendant from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed the name of Avraham to Avraham, and he told him that the new name Avraham has the connotation of Av Hamon Goyim Nisaticha, he's going to be the father of many nations. What is that referring to? So the Yerushalmi says, according to the Tanna Rav Yehuda, means Avraham Avinu is in the same story regarding Yitzchak and Yaakov. They are the fathers of all of the Gerim. Doesn't mean they're the fathers of the nations of the world, the Shivim Umas. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are considered the fathers, the founding fathers of the Jewish religion, for all of the followers of the Jewish religion. So Tesis and Bava Basra has a machlokes, should we paskel like the Mishnah, or should we paskel like the Tanna Rav Yehuda quoted by the Yerushalmi? So Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Rambam. The Rambam wrote this famous letter to Avadya Hager, where he says, we paskel la halacha, like the Yerushalmi, like Rav Yehuda, the Tanna Yerushalmi, that the Ger, when he brings Bikurim, he recites Arami Ovid Ovi, even though you have to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should, I'm bringing the Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, I'm doing everything you instructed me to. So a ger can also say that, because the ger can refer to the Avos as Aviseinu. So that's the Pesach HaLekub on the Shulchan Aruch. The big machlekes, when a ger says the Birchas HaShachar, what does he say? Does he say Shaloi Asani Goy? Or should he say Shasani Yisrael? Or should he leave out the whole Brocha and Ganzen? Different opinions. When we davened in Barcelona on Shabbos, so for Musaf, they didn't repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. So we mentioned then, this is based on a takana that the Rambam made, and in some Sephardic communities, they still follow it. The Rambam saw that a lot of shuls, there's so much talking going on during Chazaras HaShatz, the people are simply not paying attention. So the Rambam writes that this is Achil Lashem, because in churches there is decorum, in the shuls there's a lack of decorum. So the sociologists and the psychologists all explain that the Jews in the shul feel very at home, they feel very comfortable, and they don't feel awkward, so they don't feel, they don't shterzach to shmooze in the middle. It's like at home, as opposed to the Nochem who go to the Kirche, so they feel the whole thing is out of place by them, so that's why there's so much decor. So the explanation is beautiful, maybe it's even correct, but still Achil Hashem, the Rambam writes as Achil Hashem. So that's why the Rambam did away with Chazaras HaShatz. He's supposed to have Chazaras HaShatz, the Rambam had no right to do away with it. But Lohairu Ashur, the Mikdam Nusa, the Rambam says, rather than make Achil Hashem, Shem Besser, not to do Chazaras HaShatz. So there's still some Sephardic communities where they follow this practice of the Rambam, this Takonet. That the Rambam made a Takonet to abolish the Chazaras HaShatz because of the abundance of Shmuzi. One of the original things that the Rambam writes, I mentioned there are less than 100 cases where the Rambam writes Yeroyali. So one of the cases, which is repeated in the Rambam in three different places, twice in the Mishnah Torah and once in the Pirush HaMishnayos, the Rambam writes an original Chiddush that even though Smicha has to be conferred Ish Mipi Ish at Moshe Rabbeinu in Eretz Yisrael, in order to confer real bona fide Smicha on someone for the next generation, we require that both the one is Sikha as well as the one who's granting the Sikha should both be located in Eretz Yisrael. The one who's granting the Sikha should have him, one of the three people who's granting the Sikha should have himself received Sikha from someone in the previous generation in Eretz Yisrael. So we no longer have any real bona fide Sikha today. All the Sikha and Chutz Moritz is imitation Sikha. In fact, to the best of my knowledge, the Ramah and the whole Shulchan Aruch from the beginning to the end only quotes the Abarbanel once, and it's on this topic. He quotes the Abarbanel that the smicha that we have today is only imitation smicha, and it's only to satisfy the Takana de Rabbanon that appears in the Gemara, reviewed on us, they made a Takana de Rabbanon Talmud al Yoreh, a Talmud who knows halacha shouldn't paskin any dinim, elam ken kibul rishus me rabba, unless he has heter hairoah. But it's not really smicha. That's why in Yiddish, a lot of Europeans would refer to smicha as heter hairoah, because strictly speaking, it's not really smicha. The real smicha was lost 1,500 years ago, a long time ago. In the days of the Amoraim, the smicha ended already. So the Rambam writes an original Chiddush Yeroyali that if all of the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael will gather together and they'll decide to confer smicha upon an individual or a group of individuals, so the Rambam thinks that that's another root of smicha. One way to give smicha is a Rebbe gives smicha to his Talmud, so then it has to be in Eretz Yisrael, fine. And then another way to give smicha is that no one has smicha, all of the Rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael get together, they can do what we call chidusha smicha. So this was very famous after the Spanish expulsion, Inquisition. Many Jews worshipped Avodah Zarah in order to save their lives. And they felt guilty about this. They felt that they're Chayiv Koris. One who worships Avodah Zarah is Chayiv Koris. So the Rambam writes, if a person worships Avodah Zarah for the sake of Pikuach Nefesh, it's not permissible, but he's not Chayiv Koris, because that's called Oynes. Oynes is not only if someone physically causes me to violate an Avera, even if I'm pressured into making the decision to violate the Avera to save my life, the Rambam holds that that's also called Oynes. So the Rambam says that there's no Koris over here. But there were those who disagreed with the Rambam. So many of the Jews who worshipped Avodah Zarah in public in order to save their lives, and later on they ran away to Eretz Yisrael, they felt very guilty, and they wanted to relieve themselves of the punishment of Koris. So how do you do that? So the Gemara says in the last parak in Makkos, in Alokin, Kol chavi krisu shalaku nifturu midei krisusam. If they'll get Malkus, this will pater them from the Koris. But you can only give Malkus if you have a bezin of three smuchim. So that's why there was a desire, this is one of the reasons why there was a desire to reinstitute the smicha. In the early 1500s, when Rabbi Yosef Karo lived in Tzfat, and many other mukubalim lived in Tzfat, so there was a desire at that time to reinstitute the smicha. So that's what they did. So they gathered together all the rabbanim in Tzfat, and they conferred smicha upon a few rabbanim, and then about 10 years later they conferred smicha on another few rabbanim. There were five or six rabbanim who were given smicha at that time. So that was one of the reasons. That was one of the reasons why they were interested in redoing the smicha, and it was based on this Rambam's chiddush. That the Rambam writes this original chiddush that you can have reinstitution of the smicha.
We reached Cordova. It was a time, to give us from